Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
The winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year, Jordan Spieth.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague, Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network.
Good morning.
Happy Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
How you doing? How you feeling?
Doing fantastic. Not as good as Lucas Herbert, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good on a Friday. What about you guys? How's your Friday going?
Well, I got to wonder, if you're going to have an all-time round in the history of one of the more old legendary sporting events to exist in humanity.
They played more rounds at this major than they have at any other major. They've been doing this one for quite a while.
I can't fathom you actually look in the mirror and go, that's the outfit I want to be seen in when we take the photo of my historic moment.
It's one of those you get dressed, he's even par yesterday, you're like, ah, whatever, let's just make the cut, let's make a weekend. Nobody's going to watch or pay attention to or talk about Lucas Herbert at all this weekend. Of course, we all know him, team member of the Rippers. I mean, we're all Rippers P1s here on this show.
Who doesn't? He's a liver?
He's a liver, oh, yeah. You can't tell by his stupid Game of Thrones logo on his shirt.
Oh, so this is a team uniform.
That's his team uniform.
I thought he was just choosing to dress like this.
No, he's got Rippers across the front of the hat and some dumb logo on his shirt. And now he's like, damn it, this thing might live in history. And this picture and this video is going to last a long time. And I'm wearing this dumb shirt.
Maybe a take.
The hat's not even going to exist, by the way, in 3 months. It's going to fold.
The worst thing he's wearing, and I'm not a white pants guy, the shirt's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's the shades.
It's the shades are pretty bad. Pretty
it's
bad.
The douchiest pair of shades you could have possibly selected.
Yeah, we went big shades.
The aviator shades.
Going over the hat kind of thing.
Awful. It's an awful look.
You also, like, if you wear that big a shade, and it's, I'm going to go ahead and guess, going on a limb, we're about 2 inches tall on the shade, it looks like about. Those are pretty good size, like well above the eyebrow, down almost to the nose. You can't have a curved bill hat and wear that shade.
That's what I'm saying. Like, those are running shades.
Yes.
People that run distances.
Or baseball shades with a flat brim hat. It looks and fits a little bit better.
It looks odd.
You can't wear that
golf hat. You know his hat is slightly up higher than it needs to be.
Because he's got a curved bill. That's
terrible.
Rule number one
That's
of
terrible.
Big shades is you got to have a flat brim hat.
I'll tell you, man.
I love disliking golfers for the random
looks.
Little reasons of like, you look like an idiot. I don't like you.
What would you say? So let me ask you this. As somebody that has golfed for quite a bit, and I'm just now like starting to really, and as dumb as it is, really start to care how I look out there.
It's the only time I ever care how I look.
I want, you know, I don't want to match too much, but I want it to, like, you look at me and it makes sense, or you look at me and you go, not ridiculous.
There's a color theme. There's a, you know, the shirt goes with the pants. The hat doesn't stick out like a sore thumb.
Yep.
You're not wearing purple socks and a red shirt.
Exactly.
You got to have a vibe. You got to go together.
I'm starting to care about that a lot more than I ever had.
Yeah.
And as somebody that is currently doing that and still trying to build that part of the game up,
it takes a lot of money to do that, a lot of outfits.
It's not cheap.
Golf shirts are not
anyway.
Polos and golf shorts are not cheap.
It's the most ridiculous looking athlete maybe in the history of all sport, paired with the performance he's currently giving.
He might do something that nobody's ever done before.
Like, can you come up with a close second? Because I can't.
I don't know if
I can. I don't know what second place would be.
I don't know if I can.
Oh, it was when John Daly won his first PGA
as like the seventh alternate at Crooked Stick, and he had the full mullet, and nobody
from Arkansas. I at least I understand some semblance of what he's doing there.
Right,
this dude is in full live gear, wearing white pants, which look up what white pants is indicating to people.
He's just sending messages early on a Friday.
Rocking aviator shades with a bend bill?
Yeah, he can't be doing that.
What are we doing here?
It's funny. I have this. I'm the same way in golf, right? Like, I care about how I look when you dress up. I like tucking the shirt in. You know, it doesn't always.
Yeah, you're a tucker.
I usually
you
like
got a
to
nice
tuck.
Belt usually on.
Sometimes
it.
If the round gets loosey goosey and we shoot a 49 on the front, we untuck and have a cocktail on the back. You know, we mean business. Until
I try to tuck at the start and it never stays tucked.
Well, yeah, you're not a problem. Belt guy. That's part of your problem, Swigard. If
I
you got a belt,
belts.
You can cinch it a little bit
like
more.
I don't like the golf belt.
I love the golf belt. The only belt I wear is a golf belt.
Admittedly, don't like the golf belt because I bought a really nice Nike one once. I took 20 minutes. I was like, how does this work? I couldn't even figure out how to make it work.
Because there's no holes? Is it one of those
I legitimately took it off. I never wore it again, and I never took it back. It was the biggest waste of $30 I've ever had.
Next time I wear my golf belt, I'll show you. It's very easy to figure out. Because golf belts don't come with the traditional holes.
No.
Just kind of thread the needle
there
a little
bit. It's a me problem. I'm fully acknowledging. I have
this, and it is so stupid to admit, but I'm going to do it anyways. The best round I've ever played in my life, you happen to have been there, and it was at Stone Creek. Our buddy Lishka from from Pelican was there.
Yep.
I shot a 71. It's the only time I ever broke par in my life. That day, I don't know why, I happened to wear the only yellow golf polo that I have. And when I say yellow, I mean the entire thing. It's just yellow. It's highlighter yellow. I don't know why I wore it that day.
Hideki Matsuyama on Sunday?
Yeah, yes. But probably even more than that. Like, it's just, it's a vibrant, like, whoa, okay, that's a yellow shirt. And I don't know why I wore it that day. I just happened to grab it out of my closet, not thinking that this is going to be my round where I shoot a 71. I'm probably going to shoot a 92 and go home and have a good Friday. Not the case. So now in my head, this is how dumb I am. If I have a couple of bad rounds in a row, I'll think to myself, should I put on the yellow shirt for a round? Should I put on my Lucky Charm shirt? This is my 71 shirt. But I don't like wearing it because it's so bright and vibrant and obnoxious that I don't often wear it, but it remains in the closet to be a slump buster just in case I need it.
Well, I had the opposite thing. So
I have this a little bit, a bad outfit with the best round I've ever played.
but you're not on national television.
No, I am not. And there's no photos or video evidence of it either.
There is something I would follow up with, the fear of wearing the said yellow shirt. Now, look, you've already accomplished the impossible for many, and that's being under par and around at a really challenging course.
Sure, yeah.
If you wore it and shot like a 92, which for you is not a great score.
Not a great day at the golf course.
You'd have to rethink, what have I done to my prideful yellow shirt?
Oh, that's happened every time I've worn it since. Every time I've worn it, I think like three or four times since, and it has not been a good round. And I'm like, I think all the good luck's washed off this bad boy. Maybe I should have never washed it.
See, I have the opposite problem. I just bought a bad birdie shirt. I used a gift card that I hadn't used in years, and it literally took my entire gift card to buy it. It was ridiculous.
You get one polo out of that.
And, you know, it may not be everybody's favorite cup of tea. I'd have two rounds that were awful in it. I mean, horrendous. So I went to go golf the other day, and my wife goes, you need a slump buster in
you
it.
You need a different shirt. You got to change it up.
So I put it on. I didn't score amazing, but I had shot 9 strokes off the previous round.
Now you got better vibes of the shirt?
Now I feel better when I wear the shirt.
Now you got a little
the shirt
confidence.
Does not feel as much like a jinx.
It's not cumbersome to your golf game.
No.
It's not holding you back from accomplishing your dreams.
No,
isn't
it's
it
not.
So stupid how our brains work that way?
It's really dumb.
It does happen, and I have to acknowledge it. Yeah. That's it. This jackass is going to think about these stupid sunglasses and hat every time. If he finishes this off, which I don't think he's going to do. I think he needs a birdie, right, for a 59? Is that where he's at?
No, he needs birdie for 60.
Birdie for 60, okay.
So he's 9 under on the day. 61 if he pars,
so if he pars, it'll be the lowest round in a major ever.
Yes.
Lucas Herbert is going to hold that record.
Yeah, that's Bam Adebayo scoring. That's unfair to Bam Adebayo.
That's Tin Cup.
I was going to say it's Bam having 80 points, but Bam is at least Bam's a very good player. He's not known for scoring, but he's a known NBA player.
There's also a guy above him. There'll be nobody above the name Lucas Herbert in major history for the round.
Well, is there a guy above him? We don't know. There's no video evidence of it. He's just holding a piece of paper at the end of the game.
I always loved the poo-pooing of Wilt Chamberlain.
You know, he's playing against 5'2 plumbers. Like, come
That's
on.
That's probably why it's real.
I think Bam's got the record, if we're being honest here. Nobody's ever thought of Lucas Herbert. Now he has a chance. And he's probably going to do it. What's he just off the green in two
he's
on a par four.
I mean, he's chip up and a little tap in.
It would be a bit of a fall apart here in the last three shots if he doesn't get it.
If he doesn't get it, it's because he's been notified or he's really thinking about it right now.
Without a doubt.
Shot 28 on the front.
That's insane. I know. The 28 on the front was nuts.
I mean, it is a par 70 and there's no par fives on the front, so that does put it into context a little bit. But still, just imagine riding.
That's even harder to do.
Well, I know. So I'm saying, but the par is lower than it would be if you're a par five.
So it's not a par 36.
Yes. So it's a normal, if you're six under par, it would be on a normal course, you would shoot a 30. It's par 34 there. That's why he shot a 28. Mm. Still remarkable, though. He has a chance to pull this off. And we'll probably never think about Lucas Herbert again unless he wins the tournament.
How many times do you guys wear an outfit that you just generally think you look terrible in?
Mm.
Not even in golf, just like in general.
Ooh. Often.
Yeah.
Often.
Yeah. I was thinking about that at that quinceañera I was at. I was like, I did not dress quite to the standard that felt like other people dressed.
Not a lot of confidence walking in there.
And I just, I felt ridiculous the whole time. Like, I'm so sorry I brought this down.
Now I'm going to think about this the entire time I'm here.
Now,
why did I dress differently?
Slightly nicer t-shirt it was, and I saw other people wearing much less, but there were so many other people wearing very nice that I was like,
you got outclassed.
I got super outclassed. My homie, who, he's the father, it's his daughter's quinceañera, so it's a big deal, right?
Yes, he's got to dress up for that.
He was wearing the sickest tie I've ever seen, paired with a really nice black shirt. And I'm like, I showed up in a t-shirt and a hat.
That is super cash. Super like, cash.
Mike Lynch 2.0. I'm so sorry.
The only argument you would have, what was the weather like that day? Because it wasn't outside.
Very hot.
It was very hot.
So and it was outside.
He had to have been a little miserable,
right? It was an inside-outside thing.
Yeah, but you're mostly outside.
Yeah.
One of those kind of situations. At least you're comfortable.
I was super comfortable.
The hotter the day gets, the better you're feeling about your outfit choice, although not really fitting with the theme of the party.
No, but like you don't want your friends, especially some of your closer friends, to show up and like be the person there's like, dude, what's that person wearing?
I didn't even wear anything.
Damn it, dude, that's one of my best friends. He came in like an idiot.
He's here to support our daughter.
He's here to
now he's wearing a t-shirt? Now my family wants to throw him out of the party. Now we don't want you around here
one
anymore.
One of the only whites here, and he had to do this. Damn it.
So this is what it feels like to be a minority, huh? Here we are. I'm wearing a t-shirt. Everybody's looking at me, man. I can't even walk in and just blend into the
background. Man, who's this gringo over here? What's he doing? Why is he coming in like this?
Absolutely ludicrous.
And he's just sitting there taking all the carne asada.
Have some respect, man.
Come on.
God, carne asada is so good. Oh. He left a little bit of meat on the bone. He left it about 4 feet short. It's enough to make you think on this
putt. So you're actively rooting against
Lucas Herbert. I absolutely am rooting against him. Why would I root for Lucas Herbert?
I mean, I have no reason to. We won't hear about him this weekend. You mark my words. Write it down.
Oh, write it down. Hot take of the day.
Hold it for Monday's Open.
Even par to 9 under.
Lucas Herbert, 6:12 a.m. Friday, July 17th.
Yes.
Play this Monday. Lucas Herbert will not finish in the top 10.
Ooh. That would be quite the tumble at 9 under. That would be, what is 10th place right now?
Tie for 9th is -3.
-3. 6 shots up on that.
He's okay. 9 under today. He can absolutely go 9 over tomorrow.
He just has to shoot a couple of even par rounds and he might win the damn thing.
He's not.
He's not going to.
He
I
will
tend
not.
To agree with you. I love too. So he's got this little 4-footer to make his par putt and the guy he's playing with left one like 3 inches inside of him. So
I know why he's got that hat in the shades. He's trying to have you not look at his damn ears. That's what he's trying
to
do.
He took his hat off walking up to this hole. Those are some satellite dishes.
Okay, here we go, Lucas Herbert.
So here he goes. This is for par to shoot the lowest round in major championship.
He missed it! He pulled it.
He did. He thought about it.
He just yanked it.
Because he thought about it
yesterday.
Suck it, Herbert. Yeah. Don't pull that. That could be used out of context.
Well,
no.
You can use it for
Lucas,
both contexts.
6:13, Lucas. 25.
Yeah. Lucas Herbert.
Yeah, Lucas.
Lucas Herbert.
Yeah, there you go.
That's brutal.
That was a very Justin Herbert-like performance on the big stage.
They needed him to step up in the biggest moment, and he just turned it
over. He yanked it over.
What are we doing here, Herbert? Now he's definitely not.
Now he's on a list with, I think, 5 others that have shot 62 in a major.
Dude, that's going to gnaw you forever. Like, he's not going to win the tournament.
Is it going to gnaw him forever? He just shot 8 under at the Open
chance to shoot the lowest round in major history.
He's tied, though.
I know. If he wins a tournament,
his name is on the
list. If
he wins
a tournament, doesn't matter.
Yes, but if he doesn't win the tournament,
like,
did all the guys on that list end up winning the major?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Well, then what do you mean? What does it matter if he wins or not? He's tied for the lowest round.
How many of them had a 4-foot putt to set the record, and how many of them had a 30-foot putt to set the record, but they two-putted to tie the record?
Well, we don't know.
That was a makeable, that was inside 5 feet.
Based on how his round's going, he should have made that putt.
He should have. That's like a 95%er for professionals.
Now, here, let me follow this up. He obviously is aware that he's playing well.
He was very aware.
Was he aware that that putt specifically gives him the lowest ever, or do you think in his mind he generally...
No, I think by that time they knew.
So he knows stepping to that putt, you make this, it's the lowest round in major championship.
Yes, I don't know if he absolutely knows. Based on his reaction of standing over it like he just lost the tournament, he absolutely knew that was what was on the line there.
I also follow up because he's walking off now. Great round, Lucas Herbert. You know what? Let's give a round of applause. Yeah. Let's be fair. Let's be nice.
Does it feel like his left ear is way bigger than his right ear?
It's flopped out more.
He's got more. Yeah, that side's a little floppier.
I know golf tan lines... Ladies out there, you know tan lines.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Golf tan lines can be very bad on men.
Yes.
Right? Like, women balance out their tans far better than men. Like, if I took my shirt off right now, it would look like I'm wearing a white t-shirt. And I don't know what to do about that because I can't get burned even when I try. Lucas Herbert has probably the worst tan lines I've seen of a golfer. It's one thing to have your forehead up be pale white and you see the hat line.
The Stewart Cink.
He also is rocking these aviators, I think, on the LIV Tour because he has the sunglass tan line.
Oh, yeah. The raccoon eyes.
Yeah. That's very bad.
Yeah, you can't have the raccoon
eyes. You can't have that tan.
And the forehead tan line.
Balance out the eyes.
You have to at some point. It's okay to have certain parts be redder than others because of golf. That's just natural. How about Lucas Herbert, 15 minutes a day, we lay out and get some sun on the rest of your face?
Just something.
How about that? That's all I need.
Just something.
Just a little bit here or there. Actually, I haven't had to deal with that this summer, one, because I'm not playing a ton of golf, you know, kids. But also, that's the one benefit of swim lessons that I found quite enjoyable. It balances the tan. Being in the pool for like
an
hour.
Outside pool?
I mean, I got to be in there with him, obviously. It's an outside pool, and so I just float around like a manatee, and I don't ever put lotion on the parts that don't see sun. I put lotion on the parts that see the sun, and it's actually balanced it out pretty well this summer.
Do you feel like side tanning question for you?
Yes, fire away.
I don't know how tanning in the sun truly works. If I lay out in the sun, let's say it's 92 degrees today and the sun is beaming.
It's hot. You're going to go lay down in your backyard, throw a towel down, get some sun.
I know this because I've actually done it. I've laid in the sun 30 minutes on both sides, walked away, nothing.
Nothing.
I've gone shirtless a five-mile run, nothing.
Really?
No.
I go outside and do a little yard work or I go play in a lake.
A little active.
Roasted.
Yeah, active sun will
get you. How do you determine when truly... Weird. And before you chime in on the UV balance or number, whatever that is, I've looked at those things. They've not made the difference in what I'm explaining.
Are you wearing like SPF 9000?
I don't wear SPF.
So you don't even put anything on and you won't get tanned just laying in the yard?
In the hopes of getting a burn.
I got nothing. I can't help you there.
It's very odd.
That's very strange.
I get burned when I don't plan to get burned. And when I try to get burned, I can't get burned.
That's not the way that the sun is supposed to work.
Well, that's how my skin is working.
The sun is supposed to burn you at any moment, no matter what you're doing while trying to get sun.
I've never
heard of that problem before. No, but it is funny the times when you don't think about it, and maybe it's a little overcast or you're out. You don't think you're outside for very long.
Like at the beach, an overcast day, you're going to get burned.
The random burn days always get you because it's not in your head at all. You're usually outside longer than you plan to be initially, and then you look up at the end of the day and you're like, oh my God, I look like a lobster. How did that happen to me?
My guy Colin Morikawa has really fallen.
He went on a run this morning.
He was at 5-under, and then, I don't see him in the top 10.
He's at 3. He's hanging
around. Is he tied at 3?
Yeah, he's 3-under par.
Yeah.
We're going to need a couple of these leaders to tumble a little bit over the weekend. Looking at you, Lucas Herbert.
Well, we got a good show today.
We do.
Feeling good on a Friday. I got a good amount of sleep. Had a little nice little pre-show exercise going.
Look at you.
Got the heart rate up.
Hey. Get the heart pumping.
Nice to get in the garage, drink the espresso, get some push-ups in. Take a little ice-cold shower, 2.5 minutes.
That'll wake you up. Cold water will do that for sure.
Phil Steele's going to be on today?
Yes, he is.
Very excited about that.
He hasn't been on in a couple years,
It's
been a while since we've had Phil on.
3 years, maybe?
I'm curious who he's picking. He does a great job with his magazine. He talks to every coach, everybody around the country. He's got depth charts.
Curious what he thinks about the whole new Pac-12 as a whole after talking to all those coaches.
Yeah.
Also, making the magazine... with the NIL portal stuff.
The roster's changing every year.
How much it has to kind of suck, if we're being honest. Like, okay, so 73% of your roster's new. Let's run down this.
Right. This depth chart. You can't really work off of last year's sheet at a lot of places. It's not like, well, this guy was second string, so let's just slot him up to first string.
It's not his fault. He gets the depth chart from the school when he starts doing the magazine. But, like, how much do you look at the magazine depth chart and go, oh. And then we wait in August, September
it's
for,
not
like,
quite the case.
Yeah, you know, well, you get little changes. Yeah. This guy, you know, it's this guy or this guy, and then it's clearly this guy.
He slotted up a spot or two.
Yeah.
I'm excited, man. The football conversation was a lot of fun yesterday. It's almost here.
I got more college football in the notes today.
It's the only thing. I mean, outside of the Open Championship, it's where my head's at as a sports fan right now.
I'm with you.
And so getting Phil on will be nice to kind of further that.
Yeah. So Phil Steele's going to join us. Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague. It's going to be a fun show. A lot to look forward to. Let's get it going. Dirt and Sprague. We start next on 105.1, The Fan.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back in. Hello. Happy Friday, everybody. A little feel-good Friday for you. Hope your day's off to a great start. Good morning. My kids were, like, mandating they'd be able to come in and watch the show today.
They wanted to come to work, huh?
I have no idea what that was about.
Summer at the Sprague's that boring already?
Come to work with Dad,
it's only
huh?
mid-July. They still got another month and a half.
Another 6 weeks, dude.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it was about boredom. I don't know what it was. I was like, you're not coming in. There's going to be nothing for you to do. You sit on a couch out here. Nobody will be in here.
Did they want to come at the start of the show?
They wanted to be here for the whole show.
Oh, yeah, that's too long.
I'm not doing this.
You want to come in for the last 30 minutes and watch a couple of segments when people are here and the sun's actually out? That I get. But if you're here at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Is mom on their case about something?
No.
They ducking
no.
mom?
Mom's been annoyed, but not to the point where she's like, go to work with your dad. She's just been like, stop bothering me.
Just wonder if she was on their
do
case
something.
About something this summer and they were tired of hearing about it.
No, I have no idea where this it hit me out of left field, and I'm just like, you know, it's great that you care. I personally feel I have a job, like I don't want anybody here. I want to do my job.
You once famously babysat during a show.
I had no choice.
You had no choice.
We were poor and we were a night show.
Didn't have a babysitter.
I had no choice at that point. I have a choice now. They're all old enough to be home alone.
Yeah.
Stay home.
I don't want you here.
You're not coming in here.
My brother brings that to me occasionally. I always tell him yes, but I'm like, I just want you to know, because he wants to bring his my nephew in because he's super into sports. And I'm like, dude, if he wants to come watch a segment, that's totally fine. I'm just going to give you a heads up. It's pretty boring.
We also don't, like, we're not, I'm like, not
you're just
mingling
sitting here.
Every break with
no.
you.
I have a small commercial break
well, one,
that I can come talk to
you. Well, there's nobody here for the first two hours
and
of
I
the
told
show.
Him, you don't bring it, like, if you want to bring him in, you bring him at, like, 9:30, and he can watch the last 30 minutes of a show, and then, all right, that's how the sausage is made, see you later.
Right.
You don't want to be in here this early.
Yeah.
It's just us, Terry, and Danny over at the web. It's just
pretty much
five of us here.
Well, and then also, like, in the commercial break, when I don't come out and talk to you, you're going to come to the door, and I'm like, Dad,
I need something.
And I go over there, and you're basically
just like, that's the part.
Like,
it's like, you're on your own for 4.5 hours.
You can run around the building if you want.
And I know them. They're going to have a moment. I'm bored. This is why I told you not to come in here. You idiot. And I didn't want to encounter that, so.
No,
we didn't want that moment today.
I had to really put my foot down on that one.
Just tell mom, man, drive him down at 9:27, all right? Let him see a segment. Let's get the Sprague daughter takes.
What you need to have him do is watch the entire show on YouTube.
No, they're well aware.
So okay.
I said, you can watch it on YouTube. She goes, I know. I don't want to watch on YouTube. I'd be in the building. I was like,
It's probably more entertaining on YouTube.
I tend to agree with that. I don't know why that happened yesterday, but it was a real pain in
my ass. That's an
out-of-left
field one. Dad, we want to come to work with you. No, it's not happening. No.
We will get into a lot today. Phil Steele at 7:27. Something we'll probably get back into in the third hour. I just wanted to do it in the first hour. We got the term sheet sent yesterday from the city of Portland to the Trailblazers.
We did.
Oh.
A big step in the, hopefully, right direction.
Well, at least there's some details. Finally.
There is some details. I'll outline them for you, and you guys can give your thoughts on what you read.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, shout out our good friend, Wright Gazaway.
Yes. He's been awesome reporting on this at K2.
He's been great, and he sent out some term sheet bullet points here. So here are key terms in the city's draft proposal to the Blazers and the organization to get a lease agreement to renovate. Non-relocation commitment, a binding 20-year agreement requiring the Trailblazers to play all home games at Moda Center.
Yep.
Labor harmony agreements, requirements for labor peace agreements to support a stable workforce.
Okay.
financial protections, clear caps on public funding, limits on eligible expenses, and safeguards for the city, state, and county against cost overruns.
That seems like it'll be the biggest hangup.
Payment, a $3 million annual payment for property tax offset payment from Rip City Management escalating over time with proceeds shared among the city, county, and Portland Public Schools.
That does not seem much different from the last agreement that they've had over the last couple of years.
$3 million annually is nothing.
I can't remember exactly what it was off the top of my head, but that's not that big of an increase in ask.
But as I say that, and I hear the people who hear how we've talked about Tom Dundon that think we're bootlickers of Tom Dundon, $3 million to Tom Dundon is probably a lot. So maybe that's another sticking point.
Well, you got
to
pay rent, man.
And community benefits, commitments, requirements for community event access, local hiring, sustainability standards, and partnerships with Albina-based organizations.
That seems pretty easy and not difficult to accomplish. I think there's only one issue there.
The financial protections.
Yeah, the labor one, I'm curious earlier on in the list of like, what are we like?
I can't fathom he's very pro labor and union.
Yes. So and is I didn't hear the word point. Union in there. So that was you want labor protection. So what does that mean? Are we talking about unions? He didn't use that word. So that's a follow up I would have for them. It's the idea, and again, this gets back to the issue at hand, in that we are asking to spend a certain amount of money to renovate the arena, but we don't have the plans and exactly how much it's going to cost and where all that money is going to come from figured out yet. And so, like, let's just, how often is an arena built or a stadium built and it ends up falling within the parameters of the original budget? Feels like that's a pretty rare thing. Now, the market, you know, the world economy will adjust. Prices will go up and down. Things can inflate or deflate, and so it can become more expensive or less expensive or cheaper. But we don't know exactly what the final number is going to be, and I think the odds of them finishing the project and it being exactly inside those parameters is pretty minuscule. And so that to me, would be the biggest hangup. If they're like, we need another $28 million to finish this project, do you have that $28 million to pay?
I caught a clip of Brian Windhorst on the Hoop Collective before I came into work today, because literally in the title of his last pod, it's a Portland brewing thing. And I'm like, the national pods don't have Portland labeled as a headline of a podcast usually.
Well, we do know the CEO of Pickleball is trying to get LeBron James, and Brian Windhorst is connected to LeBron James.
Well, it wasn't a LeBron update. It was basically diving into this. And he doesn't really say a whole lot. Like, he's not adding much reporting to what's already been discussed and talked about and bantered about.
Right.
He does bring up a couple interesting points, because I absolutely think this financial protections thing is going to be a rebuttal by Dundon.
Yeah.
Merely off of how we've seen him operate and who he is.
Right. And we don't know exactly how much it's going to cost.
But it's very important. I think what happened is the Adam Silver thing at the Summer League press conference that we played earlier this week.
Yeah.
It obviously resonated to the point of, okay, we're not effing around anymore. Here you go.
Yeah. Here's our
balls
term sheet.
In your court, Rip City Management and Tom Dundon.
Yes. They need a response, by the way. I think they asked for a response by August 15th, which is the day the city council is supposed to vote. So I'm hoping it obviously doesn't take that long, but they gave them some runway here of like, we just need to know in the next couple of weeks.
So Windhorst brings up, and this is a point that I've talked about with a couple listeners on through messages, and I think it's a very valid thing, because we don't know where the journey's going. I'm still DEFCON 4. I think ultimately he is going to be a hard ass, and he'll get what he needs, and we'll get this out of the way. Yeah. But because it's been talked about so loudly with the idea of relocation, he brought up a very interesting point on Jody, which has not, I think, gotten enough conversation. One, them getting the team handed to them in the trust and then taking 8 years to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say, well, they doubled the amount, and it's a very easy rebuttal. It's just important to note, usually when, as Windhorst says, when these ownership groups sell, especially ones that have long connections or even from the city, which we know the Vulcans are not, there's always agreement principles in there of like no relocating or not allowed to or whatever. Like, the city of New Orleans will own the Pelicans when the Benson family dies.
Yeah.
The Gail Benson, she basically put it in. They will not relocate. The city will own the team. It'll be a Green Bay Packers situation. So you have all these protections. The Suns, the Timberwolves, right? This the Bucks had this. We did not have that in our sale.
No, we did not.
Very interesting. I saw Jody cared very much about this organization. She did not add that as a stipulation when she had to re-up the lease. How many years did she re-sign the lease for? Was it the 15-20 that the stand? No? Right.
No.
Was it? Oh, it was five.
Five.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Sold the building to the city for $1. What a civic, prideful thing to do. I don't want to pay for this.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pay for this. Have fun. You're going to eat each other alive. And so you start kind of mapping all these things. Tom Dundon is ultimately responsible for what happens with this franchise. If they relocate, Tom Dundon, numero uno, number one bad guy.
Yep.
Okay, let's just get that out of the way now.
Well, Adam, it depends on how they move. Do we not pass any funding and that's why they move, or do we pass funding?
We pass
and he
the
says
funding
no,
and yeah. He basically just plays then, hardball without a doubt, and right. refuses to ever agree to anything, and at some point we can't win.
Yeah.
Number two will be the NBA and Adam Silver as a very close number one, but they're number two overall for allowing Dundon to buy. Number three will be the Vulcans and Jody Allen. And I think it's a very accurate thing to point out. She's never cared about this city.
Nope.
She's never cared about the team.
Nope.
She didn't shout out Paul in the Super Bowl trophy thing. Nope. Like, it's all of this is fair as we go forward. I'm just glad the term sheet was released yesterday. It's been slid over to the Blazers, and now the ball is in their court, Tom Dundon's court, and we have to wait and see. And I know we will talk about this again, but just highlighting that Windhorst mapping out, if that ownership that was taken over from Paul's death cared, they would have done a lot more than what they did.
How about
building a kitchen at a practice facility does not constitute a good owner, despite what local media members will tell you.
We got a G League team, man.
Oh, yeah.
We got a G League team.
Yeah.
She cared. She cared about winning.
Yay.
I mean, you know, this has been my stance the entire time. We also, by the way, had somebody try and buy the team a couple of years ago. Yes, with a lowball offer, but that should have opened negotiations.
He didn't lowball in the moment. She just chose not to sell. Yeah, she highlighted $2.5 billion at that moment was about what we thought it would go for, held on to it for a couple more years. The prices of
valuations
don't usually drop.
Yeah, you had somebody who this would have never been a question or a concern who wanted to buy the team. And she rebuffed the offer. And it was the final nail in the coffin for me of one, she has no business owning a team in the first place. She's never accomplished anything in her life. Two, she doesn't care about anything. There's no vision. There's no direction. There's no call to win. We never heard from her. It just was all of it sucked. And it's why I think a lot of Blazer fans were eager and excited to move on. But the idea that Phil Knight, our biggest sports figure from a financial standpoint in the local area, it's not even close, wanted to buy the team and kind of set us up and then donate money to the Albina district, none of this would have been a problem in the first place. Now, I still maintain, you pass the funding, the team's not leaving. I think Tom Dundon's just a shrewd negotiator, and that's been my stance the entire time. I don't think he has this desire to get them out of this market. This is just the way he negotiates. He's a ruthless businessman.
We should, you know what we should do next week, Swag Dirt? We should reach out. I'd love to get somebody from Raleigh on. Because I know we've heard the story, but I could really want to relive, like, did he have a moment through all the negotiating with the stadium stuff or arena stuff where they also were sitting where we're sitting going,
yes,
are we
they did.
DEFCON 2, DEFCON 4?
I know that they did. Now, okay. I don't remember exactly how long it took.
We should work on getting work on this weekend. We'll get a guest for next week from Raleigh to, like, relive their experience through this.
Right.
Because we know he's shrewd. We know he's going to push back on some elements of this.
Right.
But to me, and maybe I'm being rose-colored glasses, I feel like this is all pretty reasonable stuff.
Yes.
From a city council that's not sitting from where many people think is a reasonable position.
No, and a reminder that you need to get to a 6-6 vote, and the mayor can be the tie-breaking vote. Now, that might be controversial and challenged in court because of our new city rules, but it does seem like there's some hope that's there. I've read Bill Oram's column, who has been one of the guys banging the drum on this team, leaving for a while.
Yep.
Even he, in his column last night, said there's growing optimism amongst city council that they have the votes and that the momentum is starting to sway a little bit with people understanding exactly what's at stake. So I don't know if we got this yesterday because of Silver comments that you brought up, or I know they had originally already planned a meeting yesterday and a discussion about it, so maybe this kind of kicked them into overdrive. But it was nice to finally see, instead of politicking back and forth and finger-pointing,
here it is.
Here's an actual piece of information that we can go off of,
yep,
and an actual moving of the football forward, and now it's in the Blazers court to see how they respond.
We'll get to that in the second half of the radio program, in third or fourth hour. We'll just decide when we get back into that. But the term sheet from the Portland City Council was slid over yesterday to the Trailblazers, so now the ball is in their court to respond to it. As Dirt notes, the vote for The funding will be August 15th. I just hope personally we hear from the Blazers on the term sheet well before that. I don't want to have to wait that long, but
yes,
I have to kind of wait and see as we sit. All right, 641, Dirt and Sprague back with more on The Fan.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
647. Welcome back in. Hello. We had a Lucas Herbert tie the lowest round in a major championship.
Sam Burns just did the same thing. He holed out from the bunker at 18, shot 62.
Did he really?
Yeah. He was just three over when he started, so he's at minus five.
How about that?
Everybody going low today, baby.
Wait, so if he goes in 18 and birdies 18, he sets the record? Is that what you're saying?
No. He holed out from the bunker at 18 to get to 62.
Or for a birdie, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Sam Burns. I'm sorry. Yeah. I was looking at Cam Young. You were breaking my brain with that. I'm like, what the hell is happening here?
It was a pretty funny post yesterday when Brown and Sungjae Im were the two top guys on the leaderboard, and somebody took a screen grab of it and said, the fairways at Royal Birkdale, and it said, I'm Brown, because all the fairways are burnt out. Yeah, that's kind of funny. That's a good little
we
golf
still
joke.
Got some big names yet to tee off, but that leaderboard is...
Oh, here we go. Here it comes.
I'm going to the weekend.
Poop in your diaper
no, all
spray.
All I'm saying is going to the weekend.
You already told me
great.
Herbert ain't going to win. Yeah,
not,
so
not,
he's
not
out,
good.
So yep. Snip him off the list.
Suber
ain't going to win. We know that.
Sam
then
Burns,
you go
Cam Young
and Sam Burns, both well-known players.
Sungjae Im's been around for a while.
Colin Morikawa, your guy, is 4-under.
For golf people, right?
Yes.
Cam Young, well-known.
He won the Players' Championship. You call it a major.
It's the unofficial fifth major.
So isn't that make him a big golfer?
For golf fans. Well known is.
Well, what are you, Sprague? Are you a golf fan?
I am.
Who cares about the other people then?
Yeah, you're right.
You don't want to watch Cam Young or Sam Burns? That's on you.
Dude, what I would give to have a team of people look for my golf ball the way that these guys get it every tournament would be awesome.
It would be absolutely awesome. And
found it! Hooray!
Over here! Put a little flag down when the ball goes slightly out of bounds, and you're like, look at that. It's right there. I did see a funny thing. Dan Brown, our author of The Da Vinci Code, who they just showed, he's still near the top of the list. Did you know he's a big smoker on the golf course?
Oh, heaters?
Dude, ripping darts the entire time he's out there.
Old school, I love it.
He's worried that on Sunday, because it's so dry and
he'll
windy.
He'll have lung cancer?
That's a down-the-road fear. A short-term fear is that they might tell him he can't smoke cigs.
Oh, really?
Because it's so windy and burnt out that they're like, dude, this guy's going to light the course on fire, man.
Dude, we have wildfires going off in Canada right now. Like, what if he had, like, a wildfire started at the Open?
Royal Birkdale burns down early on Sunday morning because Dan Brown's out there smoking a cig on the seventh hole.
We'll dive fully into college football in the second hour. We'll kick it off, of course, with Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. Something we didn't get to from the Magic Hat, I wanted to get to this actually Wednesday, but I was like, going to punt it to the Magic Hat, forgot to write it on my note for the hat, and so I wanted to get to it today. Did you see this list that CNBC put out a couple days ago? It's
no.
The top 10 worst states to live in 2026. Did you guys see this list?
I did see the list, yes.
So obviously this sparked a lot.
Yes.
A lot.
Yes.
Of ninth. Pushback.
Ninth?
The top 10 worst states, according
so
to CNBC.
Number one is the worst.
It's the worst state
right.
to live in.
Okay.
Now, what are your qualifiers
yeah,
here?
Yeah, what are we considering?
I think what people aren't considering enough is that, like, maybe your major city's good, but, like, overall, is your state great to live in?
Mm.
And I think there's a little bit more of a complete picture with this. You don't have to agree. I'm just going to read off the list that CNBC created.
All right. Ready to yell.
Right.
This is created by Brandon Sprague. He says
sure
your state sucks.
Number 10, Arkansas. Yeah. Number 9, Oklahoma. Man. I've been to Oklahoma. I'm going to speak on the states I've been to. Absolute piss hole.
Not a lot going on there.
No, thank you.
Boomer Sooner.
Their mountains are hills we run up. Number 8, Alabama.
Yeah.
Never been. I can't really speak on it, but I understand it. Number 7 is Missouri, who I was told yesterday.
What about the Ozarks, man?
If you don't live in certain really highly populated areas of Missouri.
If you don't live in Kansas City or
St. Louis. You got a little
West
Virginia in you is what I heard.
Not a lot going on outside of Kansas City. Is that the lesson of the day?
Well, those parts are called Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri. That's right. And to be fair, West Virginia, not on this list. So maybe that's rude to West Virginia.
West Virginia not on this list?
Number six, Utah.
Come on.
Salt Lake is drying up. They're fearful of it. So let's put a big data center in. It's going to take even more of your water.
Okay.
I've been to Salt Lake. Salt Lake is delightful.
Salt Lake City is a beautiful city.
It's a beautiful city.
Dude,
I've heard good things about Provo. Never been.
Gorgeous topography.
No.
Swag doesn't want to dive in.
No, you don't want to go to Provo?
You don't want to go to Provo.
I mean, that's fine. That's only one city. I got the rest of the state to play
Provo
with.
Is the school campus. That's pretty much it.
Well, that's all it's going
on. And it's gorgeous. We don't
talk about other places at Utah. You want to go to the Red Rocks? Sure, as long as we get back to Salt Lake City. Number five is Georgia.
Okay. I disagree with that strongly.
Wow.
You've been to a couple pockets of
Atlanta
Georgia.
Atlanta is an awesome city.
I've heard good things.
Savannah, I have never been to, but it is my number one bucket list city.
I've heard Savannah's amazing.
Yes, it's like historic and beautiful, and there's great stuff
to
do.
Augusta?
Well, you know, they got Augusta.
I think they put Augusta as a reason for this list.
Yeah, but you can't have Augusta sucking because 82nd sucks, but if you had Augusta National off of 82nd, it wouldn't suck as much. And so if you have that course in that tournament.
You have Rose City Golf Course Muni off 82nd.
I got no beef with Rose City. That's fine. I played it before. But come on, man. Georgia being that high on the list is laughable.
Wife and I went and chipped over there because my daughter had tennis practice. Mm-hmm. And there was a hammered old guy. And we thought he was, like, mad at us.
Oh, we start hollering.
And then I watched him chip. And I went, no, he's mad at himself.
Ah, yeah.
Those chips aren't leaving the ground much.
Damn it!
Number four is Louisiana.
I disagree with that one, too. I've been to Louisiana. It's beautiful.
Outside of New Orleans?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number three, Indiana.
Never been to Indiana. I don't blame you at all for that.
Number two, Texas. And number one, Tennessee. The 10 worst states to live in 2026, according.
How is Tennessee the worst state to live in?
Well, because I think outside of Nashville, where do you go at Tennessee? Like
Memphis?
Memphis. Yeah. Knoxville.
Memphis doesn't have a great reputation.
I mean, it's got great music and food. What big city has a great reputation? Does Los Angeles have a great reputation?
I think it does.
I mean, sure, you're pro-LA.
I'm very pro-LA.
Skid Row exists.
Well, yeah.
San Francisco has a horrible reputation.
Well, that's not entirely true.
It's got a pretty bad reputation.
I
love San Francisco.
It's it's too expensive. There's absolutely
that is very fair.
I love the people that tout.
Why do they determine those states? What are the critical factors?
How is West Virginia not in the top 10? You cannot tell me it's worse to live in Tennessee than it is to live in West Virginia. You just can't.
I will look up the actual list at CNBC's website. I will run down their qualification. I'm just reading the list.
I want to yell about this. This is a ridiculous list.
You're directing it to me. I'm the customer service rep whose company has done you wrong, but it's somehow
my fault.
How is Idaho not in the top 10?
I mean, I had a lot
of
questions.
How is North Dakota not in the top 10?
Amen, brother.
Hey, Jackson Hole's beautiful. Come on, man.
Yeah, you want to visit. We're talking about living.
Well,
12 months a year, 365 days.
Don't tell the Wyoming football coach because he'll tell you why would you live in a piss hole like Pullman, Washington?
Was there audio of that or just written down?
We'll look for it.
Okay, because I saw that quote yesterday and I thought, I don't know if there's any cameras in Mountain West Media Day, but we got to play that. That's hilarious.
Loaded second hour. I'll look up why CNBC ranked these states the way that
Mississippi?
They did. Stop screaming at me. I make the list.
Where's Mississippi?
We'll get to that. Hour two, Cafe Day Dirt and Spray. Kick it off next on the Van.
Hey, what's up, flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.